Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
And this is how Odyssey's going to go. Cody Westerlund, the shortstop.
Cody Westerlund with the Score.
Westerlund,
Tubby.
Yes, no question. Did you ever get a first-round pick offer for Zach that wasn't your own pick?
You wanted me to tell you details what it was offered or what it was... I mean, the actual deal that happened with San Antonio, that was the deal that we executed.
I'm saying from a different organization, a standalone.
I'm not going to talk about hypotheticals.
Okay.
Sir.
And then a follow-up, too. There's an argument to be made you could have kept your first-round pick by being in the bottom eight for the next couple of years. So what went into that calculation to get it back?
I think calculation went into to get our pick back so we have freedom. This season and for years to come.
Cody Westerlund is here to talk Bulls with us, which we will get to momentarily. There is some news from the world of baseball.
There is indeed, and breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants. They celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. From Don Van Natta Jr. over at ESPN, in a historic sweeping decision, baseball commissioner Rob Manfred on Tuesday removed Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and other deceased players from Major League Baseball's permanently ineligible list. And it goes on to include Manfred's statement that MLB's punishment of banned individuals ends upon their death. So he concludes that, quote, permanent ineligibility ends upon the passing of the disciplined individual. Mr. Rose will be removed from the permanently ineligible list. So this clears the way for Pete Rose posthumously and Shoeless Joe Jackson posthumously to be into baseball's Hall of Fame.
This was clearly the current administration putting their thumb on the scale, too. And I'm not surprised. Then I do like the idea of upon death, the punishment no longer exists.
Here's what Manfred wrote. Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. Moreover, it is hard to conceive of a penalty that has more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve.
Yeah, from a logician standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world. And I would imagine that baseball might get something out of this beyond it being Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson getting themselves to the Hall of Fame.
Perhaps their antitrust exemption will be further protected.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
You read my mind.
It's kind of important to the money people.
Uh-huh.
Things seem to be a lot about money in the world these days.
It's true, but great for Shoeless Joe.
Good for Shoeless Joe. And it's a museum, man. It's a museum.
That's what Callie told me probably 15 years ago. And ever since he told me that, I'm like, you know what?
It's easier.
You're right.
And it's easier for me to take with Pete being gone because Pete was out there trying to make money on it and still
he was kind of playing both sides of it.
100%. And he would sign baseballs with saying, "I'm Pete Rose and I bet on baseball." And he would sell those to people, man.
That's what the Pope's doing now. That's I thought I saw that yesterday in the Sun-Times. That's not what the story was.
It's close enough, man. It's close enough. So we can touch on it a little bit later. We got Cody Westerlund here, man.
We do. Cody Westerlund is here. So the whole hope for the number one pick ended very quickly for the Bulls last night. This is about what we expected, though, for them to be in the place of somewhere between like 10 and 12 inside of the draft lottery. It just kind of hit with a thud last night. What was it like experiencing it as someone who covers the Bulls every day?
Yeah, to be clear, 85.23% of me expected that to happen. That was the exact chance of the Bulls getting the 12th pick. That's what they got at McCormick Place last night for the lottery. And like you said, it kind of comes fast, right? You're waiting around the ESPN broadcast when you're in the ballroom. Then they finally go up on stage. Tim Sinclair leads it off and everything. But those envelopes come out, and you see Bulls go up at 12. And then all of a sudden, you're like, they're back in the same exact spot. Everyone else's attention in the room certainly turning to the number one pick and who's going to get Cooper Flagg and the Mavericks getting that opportunity last night. But for the Bulls, it feels like much of the same as they move forward here.
When did you catch wind of the coin flip? Like, when did that story, the fact that the Mavericks were going to end up where they were, like, did that develop, just how close the Bulls they got to what ended up being the number one pick? How did that story develop in the room?
Yeah, I mean, mostly that was developing among Chicago media members standing around talking right after it happened, right? Like, we're staring at the lottery sheet. We were aware they had 39 wins, just like the Mavericks. And then we go backwards, rewind in our mind. I think it was April 21st or so when they held that random tiebreaker. And a lot of the times you don't think too much of it at the time, right, when it's a tiebreaker between 11 and 12 and not a tiebreaker between something like 4 or 5, something like that. So you just kind of put two and two together and you're thinking about it. And I don't know that it's like a big storyline topic to discuss with the Bulls themselves, you know, like, what would you have done differently in the random tiebreaker? You can't really ask them that stuff. I think there's certainly bigger picture philosophical organizational decisions to track back and see. My argument all along, if you trace back to the start of the season, was pretty quickly it felt like to me there's no way they're going to be in the race to the bottom three or four, right? The way the Wizards played basketball, the Hornets certainly took a nosedive early in the season. The Jazz wanted no part of winning this season. But you look at that, after that, there was opportunity to go 5-8 range. And again, the Bulls could have tried to do that and ended up sixth worst team and then been eighth in the order or something like that. But you look at it, a team that was fifth worst and eighth worst were two of the teams that hopped up into the top three. So this draft isn't all about Cooper Flagg. Like, just a top three or four pick would have been huge for the Bulls. So you look at that, that's where it feels like there was a little bit missed opportunity. But, you know, we've talked about this story 100 times. They want to win. They want to be competitive. That's how they're moving forward. Every single sign you look at for next season and everything you talk to with people is that they're going to roll it back and it's going to look a lot like this past season.
But but staying on the logic of it, because yeah. I agree, you can't say like, oh, they should have done better in the coin flip.
Yeah.
It's kind of a logical mess to do any takeaways from last night, isn't it? Because you have the anti-tank thing entirely, and then you have Dallas is getting yep. rewarded with a coin flip. It's a lottery anyway. Like, I feel yes. like it's a logical mess.
The one takeaway that you could have that's separate from the luck of the draw is that if you had been worse and you believe that, like, you really believe in 6, 7, 8 players in this class, there would have been a lot of logic to make sure even to stay in the top eight, right? Like, the Bulls are at 12 because they had the 12th, 11th worst record or so in the NBA. If you have that eighth worst record and the cutoff is somewhere between 8 and 12, and look, this will play out over the next month as we learn more about these prospects and hear more. To me, like, it does feel like there's a few tiers of this draft, and certainly Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper are right there at the top in that order. Then there's another group, and then I don't know where that cutoff is, but kind of might feel like the Bulls might be on the outside of that second tier too. So when you look at the strength of the draft and why it was talked about so much, wasn't just one or two guys, because people felt like there was some depth to this, and now you're not in range as much of depth. So they have to
believe in their scouting, hope that a talent like Modest Buzelis is available somewhere around that range, and then correctly execute on a draft pick. But that is harder at 12 than it would have been if they'd gotten lucky into the top four, or even if they were at 6 or 7. So, again, we've gone over that territory so much, but I think this is a couple days to reflect on that when you have a pivot point like this, certainly. But this is going to feel like last year when we look ahead to next year. Doesn't mean we'll have the same 15 players that we're watching every night, but it is going to feel much the same, I think, in the way they compete and what their goals are.
Nico Harrison shouldn't be feeling validated, though, right?
No, but he certainly looked validated while celebrating.
He really did.
And he wasn't in the ballroom, I don't believe. At least I didn't see him in the video going around. It looked like a private room.
Yeah.
Certainly somewhere. So even in a setting where there weren't going to be fans booing him, he seemed to feel best just staying out of the spotlight, obviously, which you can understand from a human level for him. But at the same time, no, because this is all luck. You know what I mean? The Mavs got lucky with their 1.8% chances. The Bulls' 1.7% chance didn't work. And there's a lot of teams with 14% chances and 12.5 who are mad that the Mavs got it and they didn't. So this is a key point in all of this, too. You were talking about this in the show open, I think, Speaks. Is it fair to teams, you know, like the Wizards, to not get a good pick? And what I think they fell all the way 5-6, somewhere in that range.
Right, because the whole thing is designed theoretically to help the very worst teams.
But this is what the NBA wanted. They wanted there to be more randomness in this because of how teams were tanking.
They
but
didn't
the
want to reward tanking.
Correct, but Cooper Flagg's just so good, and these prospects next year are so good that the tanking's still going to shamelessly happen. So, like, the NBA got what they wanted, but it doesn't mean their vision of slowing tanking is working. They wanted more randomness. And I will say, this is a key point, the last 2 years have been very random, with the Hawks jumping from 10 to 1 and now the Mavs from 11 to 1. But prior to that, it was 4 straight years when you're looking at Anthony Edwards to the Wolves, you're looking at Cade Cunningham to the Pistons, Paolo Banchero to the Magic, Wemby to the Spurs. Those four teams had records that were the second or third worst records in the NBA. So it has played out in the sense that the team with the worst record in the NBA since they instituted the flat 14% odds for the top three teams in 2019, the team with the worst record hasn't gotten the number one pick. But it's not to say being really bad isn't helpful, because those second and third teams have gotten up. But this is what the NBA lottery is. It's like once a year we're all like, oh man, we got to learn math again. We got to realize how this works. Like, what's lucky? What's good? What's bad? And it all just comes in the spotlight when the ping pong balls fly out.
Cody Westerlund joining us here. He covers the Bulls for us here at The Score. So how can the Bulls get better? Like, well, what are the options for them as you see it for them to get better?
Well, they just have to hit on draft picks. Like, there's nothing more important for the Bulls than to hit on draft picks. And again, that doesn't have to be luck and Cooper Flagg. But last year, it looks like they're going to hit on one with Modest Buzelis. They need to be that productive every year. And that doesn't mean they're going to get an all-star every year. But get the best value in someone that can help and be in your rotation. And looks like they have two-way ability. That's another thing with the Bulls that's kind of in the past 5 years, obviously, been a problem. They got a lot of guys who are only defense players or all offense players. So you look forward. The draft pick is a commodity, right? There are three ways to get a star. You can sign one in free agency. You can draft one. You can trade for one. Well, the only way to trade for one is if you have a lot of assets to trade to other teams. The only way to attract a star free agent is if you have good young talent or good established players. You control those two things. You don't control your draft lottery odds, obviously. You can control the odds to an extent. You can't control how it plays out in the lottery, obviously, but they've just got to keep adding to the young talent core base. And if you want to be the optimistic Bulls fan, it's still going to be hard, I think, to get through the 25-26 season. But if you get to summer 2026 and hit this number 12 draft pick, just a decent, solid player that can be part of your team, the books clear up, you have your future draft capital, and there's a window, a prism to be like, a few years from that, yes, you know, you can attract a star free agent, or you can trade for a good young player to be more of a core member. But like, the only way that happens is success in the NBA draft for the Bulls.
So tell me why I shouldn't expect Kasparis Jackachonis of Illinois to be the pick at 12. I know they have a lot of guards, and I know they already have They already have, they have people, but my God, it just seems like it's fated to happen. And maybe Coby White gets traded, or maybe...
Here's why.
Tell me why, because if he's there, he might actually be the best player, the best, like, fully rounded player. Because there's, like, some 3-and-D guys, some rotational pieces, those kind of things. But you got to try and find upside at 12 at this point.
I like where your head's at on the upside angle. He plays a lot like Josh Giddey in the sense that needs the ball in his hands, right? Not a guy who's scoring 25 a game, but a guy who can score. Obviously, I think he has a little bit more mid-range ability than Josh Giddey and such, but they are very similar prototype players to me in the sense serious question marks on the defensive end. Ball in your hands, what happens when you're off the ball? I think KJ would be better off the ball than Giddey. Would be, but look, he had a great start to his season at Illinois last year, really lagged in the middle of Big Ten play for a while, had some great games, had some disappointing games down the stretch, but he's a good talent. I also don't think he'll make it to 12, and I think there's some overlap there for the Bulls, but like he's got defensive question marks certainly on that end too, but I do like where your head's at. Like, I think he can be a very successful NBA player in the right setting. Absolutely.
I think he's going to be a good pro, and I think he fits the style that they want to play.
I think he fits the NBA style in general, right? Just size, the willingness to pass, the ability to use that size to affect the game on various points of the floor.
We often talk about this in terms of football, but the draft combine for the NBA is coming up in the city in a little bit, too. How do basketball people judge combine stuff versus tape?
It's hard. It's a question that organizations view differently. And I think when you're at the top of the draft, right, you got to have both. But there's certainly a point in your evaluation process and the point in the draft order where you have to make a decision on that potential versus someone who's already proved more on the floor at a college level. And you look at this just from the Bulls perspective in recent years, like what was Dalen Terry? That was mostly an upside play, right? He didn't have a huge statistical year at Arizona in college before they drafted him or anything like that. They drafted him for his tools, his length, his defensive ability, what they thought he could translate to and develop into as a shooter. And we haven't seen enough of that. We saw a few flashes last year, but it is a very difficult question for people. I tend to think I hedge toward, you know, having proved it, obviously, but like there's swings. Certainly if you're in the middle of the first round, you want to take that big swing, it makes sense. But a lot of these guys in the top 10, when you're in the top half of the lottery, I would hedge toward someone who's proved something.
So the headline, Cody, is that they chose the middle.
Yep.
And they get rewarded with more middle.
Yep.
And it looks like a whole nother season of the middle.
Yep.
And it would take like miracles in the off season in terms of trades to really change the makeup of this entire franchise at this point.
Yeah, if you're talking about a 1 year window, correct. It would take a miracle to overhaul it and change it. I think, again, if you want to look farther out, I think it's more optimistic to look farther out. I think it's going to be tough next year because look, I expect Coby probably to still be here. I would listen to offers for everyone, but he proved a lot, and he is a good player you want to have on your team. Josh Giddey's obviously in the picture as he's headed for restricted free agency.
The difference between them and all these teams we're watching in the playoffs is just so massive.
Yeah, and Callie was making that point earlier. It's like that space and pace is great in the regular season, but there does come a time in the playoffs where
you need ISO basketball.
You need stars. You need some ISO ball. You need to be more physical. You need to be able to do everything. And look, the Bulls got better at doing some things, running in three-pointers last year, but they are still really far away from being well-rounded in a complete team and even just having players in a setting who are well-rounded and complete. So that's where it gets difficult. And I don't expect anything to be changing here either, like leadership structure-wise we've talked about. I mean, I would probably expect Billy Donovan to get a contract extension this offseason. I don't know exactly how much longer AK's contract goes, but it feels like he's going to be here for another year at least and stay in there and everything. So
everybody's got to be patient. He wants you to be patient.
The decision makers you see now are still the same people who have the same voices moving forward in the immediate future.
Cody, thank you so much. A very thorough report, as per usual, on the Bulls and the awfulness of what happened last night, stuck in the middle, and stuck in the middle with you is kind of where they're at. That's Cody Westerlund. Read his work on 670thescore.com. It's excellent. When we come back, let's talk about the Bears. And let's talk about Spiegs. I feel like I need you to tell me if I'm right. I feel like I heard something yesterday that leads me to feel better about a coaching decision.
All righty, let's check it out. You heard that from some assistant coaches who've been speaking?
Yeah, I feel like, I get why this hire was made now. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Check Todd out at The Ringer. He's doing incredible stuff with the Todd McShay Show.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
If he was drafted 31st, right? So I was drafted to Chicago.
Yeah.
But I was drafted 31st, and we had a veteran tight end there that was a really good player in Desmond Clark. So I had to come in. I was like the 12 tight end guy, and I had a role, and I had 30 snaps a game, and I was only asked to do what I was good at, and I could learn all the other things because we had Bernard Berrien and Mohsin Mohammed and Desmond Clark, and like we had a lot of other proven really good
Johnny players. Knox.
Yeah, exactly. So like we had real dudes when I got there. So the other side of that coin though is you don't get that luxury when you're drafted in the top 10.
We're going to actually talk with Des Clark tomorrow on the show. I think he's still like the leader in receptions and receiving yards at Wake Forest.
Man, that's cool. That's Greg Olson on the 89 podcast with Steve Smith. Talk about Des Clark, but Greg Olson referring to himself right there as I was just the 12 tight end. So he was the second tight end in 12 personnel. And that's all he had to do was just do what he knew. That is not the case for Loveland on this Bears team. Loveland knows how to do everything. He's going to play a lot this coming year, don't you think?
He is going to play a lot, but I do understand why Greg would make the comparison. It plays out because you're going to ask Komet to do a little bit more of the heavy lifting stuff, the inline tight end stuff. Initially, because we're still talking about a guy who's coming off of a shoulder injury, and he should be fine by the time they get to training camp.
So first six games, for sure, Komet higher on the snap count. Think it could shift as the season goes on?
I think it will shift. But I'm also curious on how much of that the personnel they play. Because we've seen it before. They what's the guy's name? Is it Dylan Smythe? What's the other?
Durham Smythe.
Durham Smythe is your third tight end, the former Dolphin on this team.
When you want to go 13, you get him out there and do some things.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some cool stuff about him. And while I was watching this stuff this weekend, the Declan Doyle thing, I think we all pretty much kind of understand what this is. This is like a high-level young prodigy type thing of like, this guy is going to be good, so we're going to give him this job. And he's not going to have play calling responsibilities. His responsibility is to make the life of the head coach easier. And when he was hired, it felt like a guy who was nervous when I was listening to him talk. And this weekend, I walked away going, the closer we get to ball, the more I'm like, oh, I completely understand why they hire Declan Doyle. Here's what I mean, Speaks. Take a listen to him talking about Colston Loveland.
What did you like about when you first watched Loveland on tape? What were some of the things that jumped out to you?
He's competitive. He's super competitive. I was a tight ends coach before this. He was a guy that I started watching Colston near the end of last season. I had a quality control coach that brought his tape and Tyler Warren's tape. And so I got to watch Colston a little bit right at the end of last year. And I was like, man, I would love to be able to coach this guy. It just so happens that I end up here and we end up acquiring him. And we're certainly very excited about, you know, the competitiveness, the person. He's been out there. He's been really inquisitive. And he's very involved just right from the rip.
What are some of the things he does that show you that competitiveness, the things that you can see on the tape that show you that he can?
I think that you see him finishing at a high rate, and you'll see him jaw a little bit at, you know, whoever he is, he's playing against. That's the biggest thing that stands out is just his ability to finish and his willingness to play through the whistle.
Ben said that, like, next to quarterback, tight end's the hardest position for a rookie to grasp. And, like, knowing that he's not going to be on the field for a little bit, what do you try to focus on with him now? Like, what specific areas of the mental part?
Yeah. I think with any of these guys, you start at the start. And so that is the language first, getting on the same page as far as how we're going to communicate. For tight ends, that is a challenging position to be able to pick up because you are involved in run game, protection, pass game. And so we're giving these guys kind of a bite-sized piece of what we're going to give the veterans here, but really not skipping any steps. No different than how we're handling Caleb in the quarterback position, making sure that he feels comfortable with how we're going to communicate, where he's going to line up, what his thought process is at the line of scrimmage, where his eyes need to go, all those things, all the intricate details of our offense. It's just a special group of people. Like, it's a group of people that we are excited about the direction that this place is going. We're bringing in people that are like-minded, that, you know, fit the vision of the head coach, the ownership, the GM top down. And when you bring a group of people together that are like-minded and attacking a goal together, I think that, a lot is possible.
I'm smiling because that dude loves football.
He loves it. and quite honestly, he doesn't sound like, I know that a 28-year-old adult, he doesn't sound like a kid in this. Like, he sounds like a guy that has got the memo and he is ready to out here to speak,
hey man,
from the gospel of Ben Johnson.
He sounds like a passionate lifer who absolutely loves ball. And you have to love football. I was told many times.
You have to.
I would suspect that, you know, being under the tutelage of Sean Payton at that young age, like, that'll force you to grow up in NFL years real quick.
Yeah,
sure. But
or else you're going to get punched in the face.
Wasn't it? Oh, especially if you go near the Vicodin. Wasn't it Ben who said that Sean told him he's another Ben Johnson? Didn't somebody tell Ben that about Declan Doyle?
Yes.
That he's another Ben Johnson, that he's like a young, passionate, likes to be think of himself as a mad scientist. Like, he's into it.
And watching that, like, it came through. Like, watching him talk about Loveland.
Sure, for sure.
It came through. So I was kind of like watching the video while laying down on the couch. And when he started talking, I like sat up. And I was like, oh, Oh,
I'm picturing you as Leonardo DiCaprio with a beard in his hand and smoke just pointing. Yes, yes, you. That's it. That's the football love.
That's what I was looking to see, and he's got it.
We were told in the meeting, in the pre-show meeting, that Alex Kuhn has some Declan Doyle nuggets that he could share with us. I hear they're delicious, Declan Doyle nuggets.
Well, you're looking for somebody that is Ben Johnson Jr., basically. Well, he's a tight ends coach, but his tight ends coaching goes back to when he was a student assistant at Iowa, where in 2016... George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant, all on the roster.
And he was the tight end coach.
He was the student assistant, I was told by another student assistant
that he was 21
years old at that time. So that's 7 years ago. But he obviously saw the 12 and 13 personnel and the fact that you have those types of tight ends that are in that system, and you're not schemed open in that system. You have to be able to route run. You have to do everything on your own. And for Declan Doyle, I was told that he's always been a very smart X's and O's guy. And like you talk about, the good cop, that's what he has always been. And clearly now 7-8 years into his coaching career, stops in New Orleans, now stops in Denver as a tight ends coach. He's picked up a lot of knowledge along the way.
Let's talk about it. We just got some sourced Declan Doyle nuggets.
Is that Big Ann Heron sitting next to me here? I can't tell. That sounds a lot like Big Ann Heron, all that knowledge about Big Ten football.
I usually like my nuggets sourced, but he got them sourced. They're sourced nuggets.
Let's see if he's got as nice of a jacket as Big Ant was wearing on draft night.
Oh, I don't think
probably
so.
Not yet. No. Hey,
did you ever sack Tom Brady?
No.
Okay.
No.
Drew Brees?
It's never too late. You went with that attitude, you know?
That's right. I wouldn't blow you off if I ran into you in the South Loop.
And to bring everything back into... Yes, you would. To bring everything back to the beginning of the show, Rich Hill was at Michigan with Tom Brady.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. But I do love this idea of the young, the teaching assistant, the grad assistant, Declan.
Yeah, that was
Doyle.
Not that long ago.
No, with Hockenson and Fant and Kittle.
And Kittle.
And that guy, like, if a Declan Doyle type that isn't Declan Doyle, his job is probably going to be quality control.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Offense coach. Mm-hmm. And the fact that at 28, he has got this opportunity after the other ones, it tells me that there's something to him. Now, it probably won't matter for the Bears, other than how he augments Ben Johnson before he then moves up and moves on to being a play caller someplace else, or maybe a head coach of a college team someplace else. Mm. But it gives you an idea of what it is he's about. And it's first glances, it's rookie ball, but I enjoyed hearing him talk about Loveland that way.
You gotta love football, and it's you need dudes like that who just freaking love the game.
Well, Greg Olsen is another one.
I want to hear this.
Loves the game, and considering what he did throughout his career, his opinion on Colston Loveland I take very seriously. Here's what he told James Palmer and Steve Smith about the Bears' new tight end.
I think Loveland is the modern day tight end, right? Mm. And the reason I say that, so there's two types of NFL tight ends. There's guys that you have to scheme open, right? You're running play action passes. You see him here, he's lined up on the single side of the route. He's running contested catches, bodies hanging on. There's guys that you have to scheme open, and then there's guys that can get themselves open, right? There's not a lot of guys in the league that are running that whip route. You just saw him catch there. Now he's out in motion. Now he's going to catch, and it's run after catch. Like, there's just not a lot of guys in the league that can get themselves open, right? So I think you start there. Those are the guys that you pay. Those are the guys that you draft high. And then the second tier of guys are still NFL players. They're 10-plus year veterans. But they're going to be dependent on play action. They're going to be dependent on naked flats and bang overs and all of the things that really are more scheme wise. So I used to go into every game, and as I looked at the play sheet, I'd say, okay, I'm going to get three or four what I just call nothings. Right? It's a check down. It's a flat route. It's a sticky route. It takes no skill. There's 40 guys in the league that will catch those three or four balls a game. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's one. But in that range, takes no skill. You're just going to get them as a byproduct of the system. Then there was like five opportunities for me a game that I felt like not everyone can do this.
This is Greg's play, right?
This is my play. And if we get the right coverage, I'm getting the ball.
And the responsibility of everyone else around him, even including myself, I had to force outside release, clear out, make sure that I attract or go underneath to make sure that you open it up, because it is reciprocal. You want your teammate to do the exact same thing because roles will be reversed.
Exactly. 100%, right? So there was five of those in just our normal every down scripts where it's like, okay, if we get the right coverage, we get the right look, like this plays for me. But maybe not every tight end in the league is running that route or running that scheme or has the feel or whatever it is, right? That's a little bit more player personnel dependent. Loveland, to me, is that guy where he's going to catch the easy ones. He's going to catch the play action stuff. He's going to catch the gimmies. But then he's going to go out there and versus press man on 3rd and 7, and they want to double team Steve Smith on the outside. He can win versus safety or a nickel or a dime linebacker, whoever it is. He can win one-on-one. When they want to cloud and play a safety over the top of your X, mm-hmm. and he's going to win one-on-one. It doesn't matter what the route is. It doesn't matter. He's just going to win. I'm going to sit at him, and I'm going to put the ball on his chest. There's not a lot of those guys. Those are the Kelseys and the Kittles and the real special guys. So I think Loveland is that guy. And then, Steve, I think to your point, what's interesting is the Cole Kmet fit, I think, is going to be interesting to see how much 12, you know, how much two tight end stuff that they do on early downs. And then to me, it's kind of can they share the position, especially early, because in Ben Johnson's offense, they are going to run the ball. They do have DJ Moore, right? They do have Rome Odunze. They do have a young quarterback who they are trying to develop and get better. So this Ben Johnson system, I think, is multiple. I think we've seen a play under center. He can play in the gun. He's going to be in 4 and 5 wide, but he's also going to be in 2 tight end, 2 back, and run downhill. So I think Ben's one of the few offensive minds that has the flexibility where he can build his system around his personnel.
I like the idea that when looking at him on tape, Greg sees a special talent. Now, whether or not that happens, that's up to him. We'll see. But even him being, and Greg doesn't shine apples, you know, like he's not out here just saying nice things to say them. The fact that he can see that and say, yeah, that guy has got some of the stuff that the special tight ends in the league have, that's extremely encouraging to me.
Agreed. And, you know, we learned some of this stuff along the way as we did Ben's vision. The Lions under Ben Johnson ran 12 personnel with 2 tight ends, 3rd most in the entire NFL. They ran it a lot, 32%. It was 11 above the league average. The Bears were way down at 19%, so well below the league average. So you're going to see a lot more of it because that's what Ben has done, especially now that he's got 2 killers like this. And so that's what, to me, it made the wide receiver draft pick even more surprising because of how much 2 tight ends they run.
I think that they just looked and they were like, this guy's got a first round grade and he's sitting right there.
They just want weaponry. They want weaponry. And also, like, if you get one, because they ended up with what? The 3 second rounders, right? So they ended up with the 3 because of the deal. And now you got one, and now you're on that. You're on a really good contract time horizon with 2 young wide receivers as you're thinking about your team and your roster building, you know, writ large.
When we come back, there's baseball news. There's even more news now to this story.
Yeah, and we got to talk about the White Sox perspective of it, because if these guys are welcomed back, does that mean they're welcomed back locally as well? I'm curious.
I would imagine so. Tanny, we going to Shoeless Joe Jackson night or what?
It's right by my house. Wow, you mean at the ballpark.
Oh, not Shoeless Joe's.
Let's go, man. Shoeless Joe should be part of your active lore. Let's discuss, shall we?
Next on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, you'd always have it on.
Afternoons on the Score.
Come on, where's the big cheese? Who did all the brain work?
Joe, why'd you wait so long to spill it, Joe?
Hard guy.
What's that?
The sweet is a hard guy.
Joe! Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so.
An iconic...
Say it ain't so!
An iconic phrase in American history. A kid on the steps of the courthouse to Joe Jackson. And Shoeless Joe, along with all those other players from the 1919 Black Sox, have been reinstated to MLB and are eligible for the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe Jackson should have been in the Hall of Fame, and he will now be in the Hall of Fame. And Pete Rose aside, man, it's an opportunity for the Chicago White Sox to find a way to deal with their past. Because
you think they, as an organization, they haven't dealt with it?
What was there with 100 years for the 100-year anniversary of the 1919 White Sox? That's one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
They didn't win.
They didn't do a damn thing that whole year.
Yeah, the 1917 team, though, is also pretty good. But, like, it's funny. They are celebrating Charles Comiskey, who, like, you know, we don't know how true this stuff is, but the main reason for them throwing the World Series.
Because he didn't pay them.
He was cheap.
He didn't pay them jack
squat. He's getting a bobblehead.
But, I mean, seriously, we joked about it before the break. But Shoeless Joe Jackson is maybe the greatest hitter of all time. Ted Williams said that he was the greatest hitter of all time. Strong recommend in Greenville, South Carolina, the Shoeless Joe Jackson Home and Museum. Unbelievable visit.
I would argue that perhaps the greatest hitter of all time is still going to be kept outside of the Hall of Fame, even with this.
Barry Bonds?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Another recommendation, Tim Hornbaker wrote a great book about Shoeless Joe called Fall from Grace, and a lot of it is like, you know, you have this notion of Shoeless Joe because of the movie Eight Men Out. He was like this dumb, illiterate guy.
Yeah.
But no, this guy was like a vaudeville performer, and he would go on stage and he would like do like what were back then like diss tracks to Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
Because they had this like friendly rivalry as the best hitters in baseball.
The Shoeless Joe Museum was run for a while by a guy who was former bartender at Yaxie's, whose family had moved down there, and then he like moved down there and was a part of it. But like, I mean, Shoeless Joe should be a part of active White Sox, you know, the zeitgeist at the ballpark and around the ballpark. And hopefully this will be a move towards that. How about Buck Weaver night? Happy Felsch night? Chick Gandel night?
Well, I know who we could invite for Buck Weaver night.
John Cusack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buck Weaver supposedly knew that his teammates were taking money, was there in the meetings while they were taking money, but didn't want to rat on them. But he busted his ass during that World Series. as did Joe. I just think the White Sox ought to find a way to embrace their awkward past.
I think they're going to. Like, CHSN has already thrown some stuff out there. I don't think the White Sox will be far behind in, look, if you're the White Sox right now, you're selling everything but the 2025 White Sox. So you've had a good run lately. The Pope turns out that he was it. You got the better of the Cubs.
Yeah, we need to find out how the Pope feels about this. You know,
maybe he offered clemency.
I would assume that the Pope is on board with Shoeless Joe getting some salvation at the ballpark.
You would assume.
Maybe he'd like to. Maybe he'd like to act on it. Maybe the Pope could swing by. You know.
And since we're handing out recommendations that are connected to Ted Williams, my turn at bat is, if you love baseball and history of Ted Williams, I suggest it. It was a great gift from Dan Hampton to me. He's like, I love this book. Do you know anything about Ted Williams? I was like, yes, the greatest Mexican baseball player of all time. I know a lot about him. You know there are still people who don't know that, right?
Yeah, he was a secret Mexican. He was. He didn't want to talk about it.
And I would also recommend Ted Williams' video about hitting and swing plane. It's fascinating, and it's so logical that it makes sense. Like, the idea of the level swing is what you should do. And Ted Williams is like, no.
The upper
it's
deck.
He's
the
like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if you just look at the physics of pitching versus hitting, that you should be not trying to swing level.
When we were talking about pretty left-handed swings earlier in the show, and you were throwing out, you know, great right-handed swings and who had the prettiest right-handed swings, we got some awesome contributions from listeners, and one of them was Chris Bryant, which, of course, I agree with. I mean, Chris Bryant's swing is absolutely beautiful when it's, you know, when he's healthy. But Chris Bryant's dad, of course, the hitting coach Mike Bryant,
learned from Ted Williams.
Correct. So he taught his son Chris the right-handed version of Ted Williams' swing, which, when you look at it side by side, you're like, oh, I see it.
That
there.
Makes sense.
That makes sense.
I think the answer, and a couple listeners were on it, I think the answer is Albert Pujols. Prettiest right-handed swing.
Yeah, he was so wide. When it, like, it just was so balanced, beautifully
like
balanced.
Soto almost.
Yes, had some Juan Soto in terms of the width of it. I thought Manny Ramirez's swing was absolutely gorgeous.
God, man, he could just hit.
It's the best, man. He
could just hit.
And just had the confidence to spit on outside sliders.
And I mean, that's another guy where you go, you know, maybe there'll be some justice for those guys if you believe that they deserve justice.
Well, this is the gambling. The gambling being expunged with the lifetime bans being rescinded in some kind of backroom brokered deals. Looks like Rob Manfred called the president while he was in Qatar.
Well, yeah, the president and Rob Manfred met on this. Like, I wasn't just saying that.
Oh,
like,
no,
that, this is a thing that happened.
But he called him today. He, like, made a point to call him.
I'm sure he did.
Told about his pancakes in Tokyo.
Swing by Tokyo on your way back to the United States.
Try the pancakes.
I'll tell you about it afterwards.
It's my first attempt at Rob Manfred.
It's not bad.
Yeah. And yours was too.
It's going to get worse, though, for you.
That's how it happens. That's how it happens.
Sparingly dole it out every now and again, and let's see where we're at with it, I think. Jason Leisure is going to join us. We will talk about all things with him. It sometimes it's just Bears, and then sometimes people just run into the studio, and there's other stuff that we have to deal with. That's next here on The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.